Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and every one. This is Apostle Winnie Ann Miller. I'm glad that you tuned in this evening. I trust that you've been having a glorious and a victorious week. I have, and I thank and praise the Lord for Jesus, who is now my Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus make it possible that we can have a victorious life. John said that the beloved Apostle John said the thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank and praise the Lord. As I continue to walk with the Lord, I'm finding out every promise. Now, the Bible says every promise of God is yes and amen, because Jesus made it possible that we can live victorious in a fallen world. And you know, in this hour and time, there's a lot of things that's happening on this earth, things that you and I might not can't explain, might not don't understand it, but we still can live victorious on this earth because Jesus made it possible. Jesus was the example. You know, he came down, came through a woman, but he was filled with the Spirit of God, and he walked this earth, and because he had the Spirit of his Father, our Heavenly Father in him, which is the Holy Spirit, he was able to endure, he was able to overcome and to conquer everything that the enemy throwed at him. And he was the example to let you and I know, if we receive Jesus, if we receive the finishing work of Christ in us, receive the Holy Spirit, we too can walk in victory. In the four gospels, they talked about the kingdom is like a seed. It's a seed. It began with a seed, but then it grows. It can grow into a strong tree. And there too, again, that's why I thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing. God is doing great things in this hour, but if you focusing so much on your situation and focus on what's going around, what's happening around you, you're going to miss out on the Lord. On Monday, we're going to give just a little review for those that maybe didn't tune in on Monday. But on Monday, we talked about the power of our will and how God will not violate it or override our will. For years in my walk with the Lord, I struggled for some years because I was taught that when God get ready to do something, he would do it. And the way I began to view that was, if I'm trying to live right and if I fail, well, I ain't got nothing to worry about because God could make me, make me or cause me to live right. I didn't understand that as being human, I had a will. And I didn't realize the God of the universe would not violate or override my will, that God would not make me do anything. And I struggled with, want to please God, struggling and want to do what is right. But as I continued, the Bible tells us to grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if you're not a student of the Word of God, you're going to miss out on a lot. You know, I have people complain to me about certain things. They call me, Apostle, I tried it. It didn't work and all of that. We live in a microwave world. Everybody want everything immediately and suddenly, but when it comes down to the kingdom, we have to grow. It's a process, and I'm finding that even in the Christian, a lot of people, they want to be. I want to be an apostle. I want to be a prophet. I want to be evangelist. I want to be a pastor, a teacher, but I found out, and I try to tell people, it's a process. An infant, a baby don't grow into maturity into stature overnight. It's a process. And I found out when I start really studying the word, when I go back in the Old Testament and I see how the making of a prophet came through and how things, it was a process. But we living in a time now, everybody want things microwave. I want it now. You know, here's a commercial I used to look at. It was kind of funny because he said, "It's my money and I want it now." Well, when it comes down to success, you don't come successful overnight. It's a process. And a lot of people don't understand the process is to help you. When it comes down to the things of God, the process is to help us to develop character. God is more concerned about the character than he is the gift, you know, the sensibility, you know, develop, you know, the fruit, you know, his nine fruit of the Spirit, just like his nine gifts. But now the gift just automatically take place. They can just manifest themselves anytime as the Lord will. But when it come down to the fruit, you know, they have to be cultivated. They have to be developed. And they develop through a continue in being faithful in hearing and doing what the word of God say. But there too, again, according to Matthew 6:33, we have to seek out the kingdom of God. And like I said, for review in Genesis, the second chapter, and I'm going to be read all of my scripture from the Living Translation. I'm a lover of the Living Translation. I like the Living Translation of the Bible. That's one that I read the Amplified, some of the other, the International, the Message Bible, the Amplified Bible. But I just like my, the New Living Translation. But we're going to talk about the power of your will, or better yet, we want you to know that whatever, if you're a born again believer, born again, if you're a Christian, if you don't accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, the devil cannot stop you. Now, the devil can hinder us. Everybody know we have an enemy. His name, that he's our adversary. He's Lucifer. He's the devil. But Jesus said that we have, he done put him under our feet. Because of where Jesus came to destroy the works, the power of the devil. The devil had dominion over us before we got born again. But guess what? After you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it stopped right there. But the thing about it, you and I is responsible. I think it's Romans the 12th chapter. Paul told us, he said that we need to present our body as a living sacrifice. And he told us not to be conformed to this world, but be renewed in our mind. And I found out if you're not a student of the word and a doer of the word, because, you know, we got some people, they're a student of the word, they can recite every scripture just about of the Bible. But when it comes down to putting it into practice, they get lost. They don't do it. So there too, again, in order to experience the victory that Jesus won for us is something you and I have to do. And God is not going to make you do it. He's not going to do it. And like I said, for years, I struggled in my relationship with the Lord because I was sitting around waiting on God to make me do it. I'm waiting on God to do it without my consent. Better yet, yeah, I was waiting on God to do it without my consent. And in Isaiah, my foundation scripture is Isaiah 1:18. Let's go back there first. We're going to go and read that. Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We thank you again. We praise you. We bless you for this day. We declare the Lordship of Jesus over the airways. I thank you for those that have tuned in. I thank you, the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit to bring enlightenment and bring understanding. We decree and declare that Jesus is Lord and Satan is defeated. We cover each and everyone that have tuned into this broadcast with the blood of Jesus. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we just decree that you will bring enlightenment, accuracy, to each and every one that have tuned in. Amen and amen. Now, when we go to Isaiah, the first chapter, 18 verse, that's our foundation scripture. And like I'm going to read it, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible because I want you to see what he's saying. Now, this is up under the Old Covenant, but the Bible also tells us that at this time, he was telling them what God would do for them. And see, back then, we got to realize that it was the Mosaic law. God expected the people to keep the Mosaic law. But at the same time, it was two things going on. The Mosaic law revealed to man what God required from man, but at the same time, it was letting mankind know, if I told you what to do, you couldn't do it. You needed a Savior. Well, in the New Covenant, we have a Savior. But the point, this scripture still stands today. If we're willing and obedient, if we're willing and if we obey as a born-again believer, if we're willing and if we obey the laws and principles of the kingdom in this New Covenant, we will experience that abundant life. We'll experience victory if we do it. But like, you know, well, let me go on and read the scripture. Okay, and Isaiah, the first chapter, I'm gonna read that the 18 and the 19 verse. Where the 20 verse? He said, come now, let us order this out, say the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow, even if you are stained as red as crimson. I can make you as white as wood if you will only, listen, and y'all, God's still saying that today. We have a lot of born-again believers as well as people that's, I say, they struggling with life. They struggling with in their personal life, they struggling with their families, they struggling with a lot of things. And like I said, I found that the devil is not my biggest problem. What, you know, once you really get in the word and study out the word, and we're going to be going in Romans, the sixth chapter, that's what I stopped. I stopped on that on Monday, but I'm just doing a little bit of review. We're going to find out the enemy wants us to believe that he is our main problem. No, he's not. Jesus told them disciples, if they were going to follow after him, they had to deny themselves. That's what he told. But he's saying here in that 19th verse, he said, if you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. Now, and God has said, if we would just only let the Lord help us, how do we allow him to help us? By doing what he tells us to do. Up under the old covenant, God revealed himself as God. In the new covenant, he revealed himself as Father as well as he was a Savior through his Son for humanity. Now, in Genesis, the second chapter, I want to show you this as well. There's 16 and 17 verse. The 16 and 17 verse, it said, but the Lord God gave him this warning. Well, the 15th verse, it said, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it, but the Lord God gave him this warning. You may freely eat any fruit in the garden except the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God gave him specific instruction and told him what not to do. Now, I believe in grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace, another definition for grace, is God enables with the ability to do what he say do. But listen, a lot of ignorance will cause you to take advantage of grace. You know, sometimes, you know, we as human, we can take one another lightly. You got children, take their parents for granted. You got husband and wife, take each other for granted. Family members, take one another for granted. Sometimes people take their job and all that stuff for granted. And it's only after they lose it that they find out, you know, I should have did better. I shouldn't have did this or that. And that's the thing about the humanity. you know, and therefore, there too again, God done made it possible. But like I said, once I came into the knowledge, and I'm being transparent, once I came into the knowledge to find out, and you your own problem. Now, and see, even with Adam, when and if you go into the third chapter, we're not going to go reading the scripture on that, but you know, if you're reading this entirely, you find out Eve allowed the devil to show her out the victory. That Eve allowed the devil to show her out the victory. God had told Eve what not to do. He told her what not to do. And she let the devil just talk her out, show her out the victory. Eve did not have to listen at the devil. She did not have to do that. But she allowed him. And I'm telling you, we can do the same thing in the hour and the time that we living in. We can do the same thing, but she did. She did. She rebelled. What she did, she rebelled against. In other words, to know what the will of God is, and just willingly, if God tell us to forgive and we don't forgive, you know, willingly don't forgive, that's sin. But see, there too again, the enemy wants us to believe that we cannot do what God requires us to do. That's something else. But like I said, I wanted to show you that because, like I said, it'll help us to realize. Now I'm going to go to Romans the 6th chapter and where we left off at. Where we left off at. And like I said, we're getting in this because I really want you to see this because, like I said, once you come in, as long as the enemy got you believing you can't, he wants you to believe you got the ups on God. Come on. The enemy wants us to believe what God is telling us to do, we can't do it. I'm talking to born-again believer. Now, if you're a sinner, the enemy going to dominate you. You still have a sin nature. But if you're a born-again believer, we have a new nature. The Bible said we're a new man in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. But there too again, as I stated, according to Romans the 12th chapter, we have to get in the word of God, get our mind, and keep it renewed. Listen to me. We still have flesh. And flesh is lust after the things that contrary to what God say. We don't have a sin nature. I'm going to show you that in Romans 6. But we still, our flesh still lust. And when you see that word lust, in the Greek it means a strong desire. It still lusts after things contrary to what God said. All of our temptation, the enemy tempts us, our temptation come to our flesh. And James said to draw us away. Draws away from our relationship with God. That's our temptation is that it comes to try to draw us away from what we know God requires us to do. The enemy is trying to get us to do just the opposite, okay? But like I said, I want you to see this because it's so important. And see, what Adam did, like I said, God told Adam not to eat off the tree, not to eat off. But it was an act of Adam where after God had specifically gave him the instruction, he chose not to. Now, in Deuteronomy 30, it tells us we have a freedom of choice. And like I said, for a long time, I wrestled with that. I didn't understand, you know, okay, we got a freedom of choice, but God, what you want me to do? I can't do it. I want to. And we have so many people. Now, some, they make excuses because they don't want to. But then you got some people, they really want to serve God, but they don't understand how to operate in this kingdom, in the kingdom of God. They don't know how to operate as a Christian. You know, they just, because a lot of times when you get born again, if you go in there and you don't renew your mind, you're going to still kind of lean towards how you did things before you got saved, or better yet, how you solve problems. Now, you might not want to sin, but I found out, you know, an unrenewed mind, once you get born again, if you don't renew your mind and somebody do something to you, well, you will find yourself want to do things to solve your problem the same way you did before you got saved, unaware of it, that now you're a new Christian or you're a new person in Christ Jesus. You don't supposed to live according to those rules and regulations. You don't do that anymore. And so, but like I said, God said, if you let me help you, and there too again, when he said, if you let me help you, that means it ain't on God. That means God will help me if I allow him. Okay, I'm going to read some notes. Through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, I'm talking to born-again believers, we are set free from the power of sin. We have been given power to obey. That's one of the good things about being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Once you get born again, the Holy Spirit give us the power, the ability. He enable us to obey God if we truly want to. You know, for a long time, and one day as a minister of the gospel, and I was teaching at the church, and one day just saying it was so real to me. And the Lord began to use this. He said, now, have you ever noticed when it come down to the things of God, the enemy wants you to believe you can't do it? And he began to compare it to a job. You have a job. Once they hire you to do that job, they'll tell you, say, for example, if you got a job and you have to be on that job at 7 o'clock. And say even if you live 15 from anywhere, from 15 to maybe an hour from that job, you have to determine. You have to prepare yourself. You got to make sure that you get up enough. You have to get up in the morning enough time to prepare yourself for work. And then make sure you get there on time. That's an act of your will. They'll hire you for that job, but they're not responsible to make sure you get a ride or have a way to get to that job. That's up to you. And you notice how we can discipline ourselves. It's amazing. We can discipline ourselves for something that we want. But when it comes down to the things of God, the enemy first, he wants us to believe we can't do it. And then if we make up in our mind to do it, he will try to bring detraction or something to try to hinder us. Like I said, he can't stop us, but he can hinder us. On many of the Pauline epistles, Paul would say, I was hindered. Yeah, I don't see what he said. He would talk about how the devil would always try to hinder him. But Paul had a greater revelation, and Paul, just like Jesus, taught more about the devil than any of us. Because, that, you know, that revelation that and the knowledge and the understanding they had about it. And it's the same way I sense, and I know because God gave me this, a lot of saints is struggling with their will. And they say, I know what God telling me to do, but it just seems like I can't do it. Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, if we sow to our flesh, we're going to reap. If you constantly let your flesh, if you constantly, even after born again, but if you always sitting in the front of that TV and watching the TV, I'm not telling you not to do it because I watch TV sometimes. But if you constantly sitting there watching that TV day after day, well, you done trained yourself to do that. Well, when it's time to read the Word of God, your flesh don't want to. Your flesh ain't gonna want to do it. It's gonna rebel. It's gonna fight you. And then whenever trouble come, or adversity show up, you ain't gonna know what to say, or you ain't gonna know what to do. If anything, you say, I remember the pastor said this, and I'm going to do this. You need to get in there, investigate, search the scriptures out, find out what God says. Because like I said, if we ever observe ourselves, if it's something that we want to know or want to do, you ever notice the determination we'll get? We'll do it. But when it comes down to the things of God, the enemy wants us to believe, oh, you can't do that. He understands. And I hear so many people, well, you know, we got grace now. We don't have grace to continue in sin. Now, let me finish reading this because I want to go to Romans 6th chapter. In my notes, I'm still reading. We have been given the power to obey. Sin no longer have power over us. Satan cannot make you rebel against God. He cannot make us disobey God and his word or yield to temptation. He have He has absolutely no power over us except what we allow him to have. It is impossible for a man to walk. It is impossible for a man to walk 100% in obedience to God and his word in his own strength. Now, listen, you need to know we can walk in 100% obedience. I want you to hear what I'm saying. With the help of the Lord. That's why God told the apostles when he was sending this, he told them to go to the upper room and stay there until they be endued with power. Not only the power to cast out devils, and for a lot of things, I want the power to cast out of them. First of all, we need the power of God that calls our flesh to walk in total submission to the Lordship of the Trinity. Or better yet, we need the power of God so we can walk in and do what God's word tells us to do. If we will to do it, the power, the ability, God will release it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power. He's the voice of God. He will cause us to do it if we really want to do it. That's why Jesus said, first, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Ain't it amazing that when those disciples wanted to follow him, they had to give up their fishing and all of that so they could go and train them to be taught how to be a disciple, how to be a follower of Christ. They had to discipline themselves. There's certain things that they had to do. But as I say, nowadays, we live in a time now, I believe God done called me to be a prophet, God, and you want to start prophesying the next day. Y'all, it don't work that way. That's why we got a lot of people is confused, a lot of people trying to do things, and people being misled. Even in Matthew 24, Jesus said, let no man deceive you. He said, and he talked about offenses. Offenses is here. And he said that it's going to be a lot of false prophets, and they're going to deceive many. Then he said the love of many going to wax cold. We in that hour right now, you know. But there, too, again, you do not have to allow what's happening in this world to cause you to be to withdraw from life, to cause you to be stressed out, depressed, overwhelmed. You do not have to allow it to do that to you, okay? I'm still reading my notes. We have it is impossible for a man to walk in 100% obedience to God in his word in his own strength. Under the old covenant, man was required to walk in obedience to the law God had set forth on Mount Sinai. Yet he was unable to do it, and he lived under the curse that was pronounced upon those who were disobedient. Under the new covenant, however, God had made it possible. The new covenant is not based upon our ability to live in a life 100% obedient to God. God has placed his spirit within us, given us the power to obey him and keep his commandments. And that's what I want to really get over. As the act of your will, you can do right. Don't let the enemy psych you out. You can't do it. Paul told the church of Philippians, he said, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. God knows that we needed some help when it came down to doing what he wants us to do. Listen, the old saints, the way I came up, they used to sing the song, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to give up. Y'all, we have victory in Jesus. But listen, it don't just automatically happen. That's why it's so important that you and I need to be a student of the word. Get in there, find out what Christ did for us, who we are in Christ, what we can do. We can help our family. I like Deuteronomy the 30th chapter when it says, I set before you this day, life and death, blessing and curses. He said, choose life. Act of your will. Choose life that you and your seed may live. And I had to learn this. The decision, when I make the decision to give my life to the Lord, you know, y'all hear my testimony before, and I'm not going over. I got to say, because I wanted to get off of doing, I was heavy on marijuana. I couldn't stop and drinking and pill, and I needed to be delivered. I didn't know by me choosing, I went in there, I want to get saved so I can stop doing this. So I don't want to go to hell. Didn't realize that my children would benefit, and that's what Deuteronomy the 30th chapter was saying. You choose life that you and your seed may live. Listen, you do your family a just service when you get saved. If you're a parent, you do them a just service. You know, by you getting saved, you turning your life over to the Lord. You walking in the things of God. Now, I can hear somebody say, well, prophet, I got saved and my children doing this. Let me tell you something. You got to know how to do warfare. That's another teaching. I'm not going to go in that tonight, but that's another teaching. But he said, choose life that you and your seed may live. And like I said, under the new covenant, however, God have made it possible. The new covenant is not based upon our ability to live life 100% obedience to God. God have placed his spirit within us, giving us the power to obey him and keep his commandment. Knowing that it was impossible for man to live in obedience, God sent Jesus to offer himself as the one perfect sacrifice that would clean man of his sin, breaking the power of sin, restore man into fellowship with him. It is through the blood of Jesus we have entered into a covenant relationship with God. Through his blood, all our sins have been forgiven, and we have power over sin. Now, I'm going to go to Romans. Like I said, we stopped at Romans, the sixth chapter. I'm going to read that from my living, from the Living Translation. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Romans, because, like I said, you need to know this so you can stop letting the devil condemn you and making you say, oh, you can't do what God, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Now, in Romans, the sixth chapter, some said, well, you said that Monday. Well, it ain't going to hurt us to go back over it again. In Romans, the sixth chapter, I'm going to read the first verse, and, you know, I'm going to start at the first verse. He said, well, then, should we keep on sinning so God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. I'm in Romans, the sixth chapter. I'm at the second verse now. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we became Christian, were baptized to become one with Christ Jesus, we died with him. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live a new life. Since we have been united with him in death, we will also be raised as he was. Our old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share his new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer have any power over him. He died once to death. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourself dead to sin. When he said dead to sin, he talking about the desire of it, those lustful desires that cause you to go contrary to what God wants. But like I said, our flesh still want to sin, but we just don't have a sin nature. We have a God nature. That's why it's a stronger for it. We have a stronger desire to do what's right. But if you've been constantly, as I said, yielding to your flesh desire. Now, when you start talking about lust, some people think you're talking about, you know, sexual sin. Listen, you ever done had a stronger desire to eat more than a bowl full of ice cream, or have a strong desire to eat stuff? That's your flesh. Flesh have desires, and they always contrary. Somebody mistreat you. If you haven't been walking in obedience, now the Bible said we have crucified our flesh with Christ. But the way you walk in that, by we constantly yielding our will and doing what God say and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Okay? He tell us in the 11th verse, he says, so you should consider yourself dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Look at the 12th verse. Do not, listen, now this is the act of our will. He said, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of weakness. to be used for sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God since you've been given a new life. That means yielding to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit tells, you know, one of a good example, the Bible said, get angry and sin not. The wrath of man don't work the righteousness of God. All of us, it's not a sin to get angry, but it's a sin that let anger lead you or control you to do something that you know it ain't God's will. For example, a lot of, you know, get angry and you start cursing, profanity. Now, if you supposed to control anger, the way God created us, just like when he said, one of the things he said, let us make man our own image. God is the God. God can control anything and everything if he chooses to. Well, that's why a lot of times we as human, when it appears like things getting the best of us, our problem, or maybe a situation, we kind of get mad or upset about it because God created us with the ability to be in control. Not to control other people, rightly divide what I'm saying. You don't have the grace, or I don't have the grace, to control other people. Now, if somebody controlled by a demon, we can, yes, God will give us the authority. We can bind that evil spirit that operates in that person's life, but we don't have no control over their will. Are you following what I'm saying? And this is why we need to realize that now that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, get that mind renewed, and you renew it with the word of God. Don't just, if James said, don't be just a hearer and no doer. We got, like I said, some people can memorize scripture. No, that ain't no good. Just rememorize the scripture. You're not going to reap the benefits of the power of God. It's not released just because you can remember the scripture or you can quote the scripture. But the power is released when we make up, I'm going to do this word. Okay, God used to forgive. But listen, you have to do it by faith, not by feeling. A lot of people, they live their Christianity life by their emotion, how I feel. I feel like reading today. I don't feel like reading. I feel like going to church today. I don't feel like going to church. I know what the Bible said, but I don't feel like forgiving. I feel. No. True Christians, if you truly been born again, you're going to have to obey him by faith. That's why the first and the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. When you talk about loving somebody, you really refer to a relationship. Any relationship in the natural, the relationship between a husband and a wife is love. Love is the model that keep them together. You know, I do this because I love you. I express my love to you by doing what some of the things that you want me to do. And we express our love to God by obeying what he said. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you would keep my commandment. A lot of people, I know I love God, but if you truly love God, you do not go out here and practice or continue to do those things that you know God don't want you to do. Amen, Prophet Miller. Okay, in that 12th verse, he said, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool or weakness to be used for sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God since you have been given a new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you are freed by God's grace. So since God's grace, I'm in the 15th verse, so since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? And that's what he said. If you let your flesh, after you get born again, I'm saved. I can choose to sin not if I want to. That's an act of my will. And I'm telling you, you really get it, get this in you. I can do what God tells me to do. I do it by faith. A lot I had to learn, you know, when it come down to obey, being a Christian, the kind of Christian that God would have us to be, we do it by faith, not by feeling. A lot of times when it come down, we're out of mature enough. When it come down to giving my tithe, I do it by faith. Now, I struggled with it some years before I really got faithful with doing it. You know, if I didn't have no bills due or whatever, then I would, you know, give my tithe. But if bills due, I said, look. And the enemy, I didn't know any better, you know. The enemy would say, well, honey, God wants you to pay your bills, son. Excuse me, God wants you to pay your bills. Don't be worried about giving no tenth. Now, God didn't force me to give my tithe. But I noticed every time I choose not to give my tithe and offering, I found myself really, really struggling with finances. Now, that's one thing I have to learn. And you got some people now, the devil done told you you don't need to give tithes and offerings. The devil done told you, and you don't do it. Well, look, I'm not here to debate that with you, but I'm here to tell you everything that God say in the Bible and he tell us to do, if we don't do it, we going to suffer the consequences. And whoever connected to us, they going to suffer as well. And it's an act of your will. If you don't want to do it, I was reading before we came on the air, I was reading about Gideon. Now God had assignment for Gideon to deliver his people. But guess what? In the beginning, if you go back and say, Gideon blessed his little heart. He had a low self-esteem. His people had been defeated, Israel. And he would say, how God is so good when he let this happen. But what Gideon didn't realize, the children of Israel, after act of their will, they continue to sin against God. And because of that, their ancestors, they caused everybody else to suffer. And see, they are too, even in the body of Christ, we in the body of Christ need to realize, as I'm part of the body of Christ, and if you part of the body of Christ, if I'm walking around here willingly sinning, if I'm walking around here living contrary and doing what God said don't do, I cause the other part of the body to suffer. Because according to in the book of Corinthians, God told Apostle Paul, God compare the church, the natural body. Every part in the body is needed. And even with that, you got it's some people in the body, they do not want to unify with the others. Listen, y'all. I might not agree with everything that you do, but the common denominator, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he the Savior of the world, you and I ought to be able to fellowship. But no, the enemy, he'll pinpoint what they doing this, and they get, you know, I hear people say they got cliques in the church. They got cliques in the body of Christ. You got some leader, they don't want to hang out with the others. Yeah, we just can't get along, and I just disagree, and I just, y'all, that ain't God. Jesus said on one occasion, I have other sheep or other fold. And you know, and that was just, the Jews didn't want to get along with us Gentiles. They didn't want to hang out with us even after we got saved. They were still saying we need to circumcise. You go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, read 5, 6, you know, in the beginning. They had a problem with the Gentiles. Well, we didn't have to be circumcised. We just had to believe on Jesus, accept the finished work of Jesus. They had a problem with that. And we need to look at what the enemy trying to do. He's trying to get us to fight among one another. We got the pickets, this one doing this and they doing it. I ain't going to debate with you on that. Now, I tell you, I disagree. But that ain't going to cause me to not fellowship with you or better yet, communicate with you. Let me get back. I ain't got before. It's 6:44. It's the 15th verse. It's just, so since God grace have set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey become your master? You can choose sin, which lead to death. And when it's a lead to death, that means spiritual death. When Adam rebelled against God, him and Eve, they died spiritually. They were disconnected to God. Well, if you ain't saved, you spiritually dead. You're not able to communicate with God on a daily, you know, like a daily fellowship, communicating with him. Adam and Eve died spiritually. Because if you look at it, it was numbers of years before they died physically. But they died spiritually. They lost that connection, that communication with God. And we got some, if you ain't say, you spiritually dead. That's why a person spiritually dead, you can't tell them to give no tithes and offerings. I ain't giving my money to that man. Or you can't tell them to forget. I ain't doing that. Or you got some, honey, well, honey, if her husband, if she don't do her husband right, I get him. I'm going to do this. And now, that's what, when it come into the kingdom and you got saints thinking like that, that's, they ain't renewed their mind because you don't supposed to think like that. You know, God summed the 10th commandment up into two, you know. You see, now, if you go study the law, Moses, they consider as the Torah, it go in three categories. The ceremony law, the moral law, and the civil law. We don't live off the ceremonial law, but God still require us to honor the moral and the civil law. He still require us to do that. God still will have me to love my neighbor as I love myself. God still require me not to cover what's my neighbor. God still requires certain things from us. No, we don't do the ceremonial law. We don't do the sacrifice. I'm so glad. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And these are some of the things we got to realize. But what I'm really is targeting these last, Monday and today, I'm targeting as an act of your will, you can obey the Lord. That's what I'm targeting. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey, become your master. You can choose sin, which lead to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive his approval. Thank God, once you were slave of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Now you are free from sin. And what it means, sin dominates you. Because Paul was the one who said that he wanted to do right. Now you are free from sin, your old master. You have become slave to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way using illustration of slaves and masters because it is easy to understand. Before you let yourself be slave of impurity and lawlessness, now you must choose to be slave of righteousness so that you would become holy. In those days when you were slave of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right and what was the result. It was not good. Since you now are ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slave of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what eternal life. And see, there too, again, like I said, you got to realize. There too, if you go back and read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, it is good because it really helped you and show you that you don't have to struggle no more for time's sake. I'm going to drop down to the 8th chapter. It said, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, for the power of the life-giving spirit have freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that lead to death. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sin nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. God destroyed sin control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice. Now, the thing that what I really want you to see, now somebody said what you're teaching is, or what you minister is elementary. I agree, it is elementary. But guess what? There's a lot of saints been saved longer than a year and they still here. They still allow they flesh or they will to rebel against God. And they still struggling and don't have the victory, not being able to overcome temptation. And they crying out to God, and I'm waiting on God, I want you to do so. God done did everything he gonna do when it come down to the power of our will. It's on us now. The ball is in our court. It's on us now. But like I said, I struggle. I'm being transferred. I struggle for you. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting. And when I find out he was waiting on me, I got mad with myself. Because the enemy had me believing what God was asking me to do in his words, I couldn't do it. But I found out because of Jesus, I can do it. The only thing like it, do you want to? If you want to live right, you can live right. And even a sinner, if a sinner want to be delivered, they can be delivered. Oh, yes, you can do it. Because Jesus made it possible that you can do it. Do you not know in the hour and the time that we're living in? And, you know, when sometimes people, I have people, a lot of people want to blame God for everything. It's the devil in God they blame it. Just like Adam. Adam did not want to take responsibility for his action. He blamed Eve and said, it's the woman you gave me to eat. Eve blamed the snake. And instead of Adam saying, God, I did it. I will and I choose to do. And listen, if you're born again believing, a born again believer, and you walk around here and sin, you choose to. You don't have to. Yeah, but Prophet Miller, you just don't know what done happened to me. I agree with you. I don't know what done happened to you in life. But I know as a born again believer, we've been set free. And the Bible said who the Son set free is free indeed. There's a lot of laws and principles. Once you get born again, you got to learn. That's why you need to get in a good church that teaching you this word, the gospel, and showing you how to walk in it so you can reap the benefits. You know, Jesse the Plan is one that really blesses me. I'm missing out a lot of his teaching, and he blessed me. He said, I never learned how to doubt. You know, he said, if God say I can do it, I do it. How many saints pick up this Bible when certain temptation comes? Let's use sickness for example, because that's one the enemy really, the devil really fight the body of Christ when it comes down to sickness and when it comes down to money. Them the two he really fights you with. You know, Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:18. And 1 Peter 2:24. Now the Bible tells us Jesus already took. I was saying, sickness and disease. But the enemy, the fall coming in, you might have some. Well, you know, honey, you better pile up on you some cold meds, cause you know so and so going to so and so. Instead of, and we ministered on this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Instead of taking what God's word say, you have to make up in your mind. When you read it, you got to embrace that word. Say, God, you said it. I choose to believe and trust what you say. I found out I have to do that. God ain't going to make me do it. I had to make up in my mind, okay, God, you said forgive. I can't entertain the thought, say, well, suppose they keep. God, you told me to forgive, so by faith I'm going to forgive. God, you told me I need to get here and study your word. I'm going to study your word. You see, you have to make up in your mind. In your mind, your will is part of your mind is part of your soul. And that's the part that didn't get saved. That's our problem. Your biggest problem is your soul, because your soul is the center of the spirit in the flesh. And your soul going to either obey the spirit, your new spirit in you, which is God, or it going to obey your flesh and desire. It's going to do one of them. But you the one decide. I like some Paul said. He said, I keep my body under subjection. He would talk about the spirit man. I keep the outward man under total submission to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what he was saying. Because listen, your flesh, your outward man do not want, but you can bring it under total submission. It's just like in 21 days, say for example, in 21 days, you stop drinking sodas in 21 days. But guess what? After them 21 days over, it'll be hard for your body to receive it. It'll do that if you do it. And I'm telling you, stop letting the enemy tell you you can't obey God. Stop letting him tell you you can't obey God. Yes, you can. You can do as an act of your will. If anything, you need to repent. God, forgive me. I've been walking around here letting the devil tell me I can't obey you and all of that. I remember one time the Lord rebuked me and the Lord said this to me. He said, you're going around here talking about what you can't do. He said, it's really you don't want to. I got offended with the Holy Spirit when he spoke that to me. But then he began to show me through the word why he said I didn't want to. And when I really begin to judge my motives, deep down in my heart, I didn't want to. I didn't want to spend hours reading my word. I didn't want to forgive at that time. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was trying to make issues, and I found out I was acting just like Adam. I don't want to be responsible for my actions. And we got a lot of things. You blaming everybody but you. You saying that, yeah, I know God said by his stripes I'm here, but you just don't know my story. None of us know another man's story. Might know some, but listen, God know your story. Your creator know you better than anybody, and he love you more than anybody. And he done made it possible that in this fallen world, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulation. But in this fallen world, he made it possible that you and I can be victorious. The Bible says, thanks be to God that through Christ Jesus, he always calls us to trials. But listen, if you don't get in here, in this word, and renew your mind and stop blaming everybody. Like I said, I was in a woman's service on Saturday morning, and one of the young ladies came up, and the Lord gave this word to tell you your own problem. You're independent. You need to ask God to save you from yourself. And if someone listen, you need to ask, God, I need you to save me from me. I'm my biggest problem. I talk too much. I'm always saying I'm the victim. I'm always considered looking at how people treat me, but I don't think about how I treat them. I'm always saying, po me, oh me, feeling sorry for myself all the time. People just don't know what I go through with. God know what you're going through with. You need help, and Jesus is available to help you. Again, this was Apostle William Ann Miller. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your word. I give you praise. I give you honor. I thank you, Lord, for those that tune in to this word today. And, Father, I give them to you, and I pray, even as Apostle Paul prayed, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father glory give unto the viewer the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you will enjoy the rest of your evening.